Let's pray. Jesus, we're here today because we want to hear from you. And as Bob and I speak, I know that Bob and I don't have the power to change. And Bob and I are here to hear from you too, Jesus. I pray that you would speak. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, there you go, Bob. So that song we were just singing talked about hills and valleys, these dark times in our life where we can't see very far ahead, and we feel like we're in such a low place, and we feel weak. We feel like we could never get up to the hills. And then there's those hilltop moments where there's fresh air, and the sun's shining on you, and you feel like you can see everything in front of you, and you feel strong. You feel victorious. And I bet every single one of us in the room feels like we're in one of those two spots right now. And sometimes it changes quickly. This series we're going to be looking at just a couple chapters in Matthew 16 and 17 and how that can change from hill to valley to hill again and then back to valley. But I want to encourage you specifically today, as I've been praying with folks, I think a lot of people are facing something even tomorrow or here in the immediate future, and they feel like, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know if I'm ready for what's up ahead of me. And I want to talk to you about today's lesson. I think it's going to talk to you about how do you get up to a spot where you can see, where you do know what to do next. So we're going to be reading a passage where Jesus is talking to his 12 disciples. He asks them a question to start things off. He says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Now, the Son of Man is a phrase Jesus would use to refer to himself. And so his first question is, who do people say that I am? And there was a lot of talk, a lot of buzz around Jesus at the time. They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. It's easy to be asked about a topic of the day. What are people talking about? Who do other people say that I am? It's real easy to throw out, well, I heard this, and I heard that, and someone else said this. So disciples start talking that way. Bob, nowadays, where do people get their ideas about Jesus? Where does that stuff come from? Sure.
Well, today, and tragically, there are lots of different ways that people can learn about Jesus and have a wrong opinion of him. And so the news media is so full of ideas about God and about Jesus, and you can pick up one little thread of information and think, well, that's it. And it's really important to know who he is, and I'll give you a couple examples. In Jesus' day, the religious leaders believed that he was a fake, he was a fraud, and they used that against him to put him on the cross. The Roman officials thought he was trying to overthrow the Roman government, and they sent him to the cross. There were people like Nicodemus who came to Jesus, and Nicodemus came to him, Nicodemus, John chapter 3, and he was a great guy, but he came to Jesus with the wrong word. He said, we know who you are. And Jesus had to redefine who he was so Nicodemus could understand it. And so I would just encourage us to not take, whether we read a book or we saw a TV show or we had a friend, or maybe, and this is one that happens, people are hurt sometimes, and in their pain, in their sorrow, they make statements about God. If God were really God, he wouldn't let me go through this. And then they form an opinion about God, and it's tragic because you cut yourself off from God's help. In the midst of your agony, the one who could come and help you, you have shut him out of your life because of your thinking about him. So it's really important for us to really know who he is, so he can then be the best he can be to us. We have the door open. If I've shut the door and kept him out of my life because of how I think about him, then he's not going to kick the door in. Somehow I've got to open that door so he can come in and work with me. So why don't you take us further on that?
Well, right? Jesus drives, just like Bob's saying, Jesus drives past what do all these people say. And then he drives it home. But what about you? What about you? Who do you say that I am? So for each of you in the room today, I think that's a question that you should answer. Who do you say that Jesus is? If Jesus came into the room, Bob and I got off the stage, and Jesus said, "Who do you guys say that I am?" What would you respond? He's the boss. Okay, he's the boss. That could be a good response. Most of the disciples didn't respond. They didn't say anything because to come out and say something, to declare, like, this is what I know, is very different than say, this is what a lot of people are talking about. To say, this is what I believe, is a big statement. One of the disciples hits it right on the head, though. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Messiah means the Savior we've been waiting for. So he says, "You're the Savior we've been waiting for." And not just that, you're not just some earthly great leader or something. You're God's Son. God's alive, and you're his Son. So that's a big declaration. That's the sort of thing in Peter's time that could get you killed, talking that way. So for him to step up and say that carries a lot of weight. When Peter says a statement like that, now Jesus is ready to tell him something. A lot of times when we get stuck in these valley moments, we get so focused on ourselves and we stay stuck in our problems. Here we're going to be talking about a hilltop experience that Peter is about to have, but I want you to notice, how did he get there? He wasn't focused on his problems, he was focused on who Jesus is, and that set him up for something, okay? Now this great answer he had, he didn't get it from some great preacher, he didn't get it from some book, he didn't get it from Twitter. It says, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Think about all the different stuff you've listened to or paid attention to this week, whether you've been scrolling on Facebook or listening to podcasts or reading the newspaper. Most of us spend a lot of time listening to what flesh and blood have to tell us. We think, oh man, if I could just get this, you know, life hack down where I can save 5 minutes more in the morning, you know, and that's what we spend our time reading. Or we're reading about, like, oh man, what's going to happen with the world or with this or that. We listen to a lot of people. The most important things that you can hear, the things that will change you, the biggest stuff doesn't come from flesh and blood. It comes from an experience, a spiritual experience with God yourself. Latasha can't just read about what Michelle experiences. She needs to experience Jesus for herself. Today we watched Parker get baptized, but that doesn't, that's not, what, sorry?
Walker, sorry.
So see, I'm learning names still. We watched Walker get baptized.
God knows his name.
That is true. So, yes, exactly. So, anyways, we'll leave that by the wayside, and let's jump on. So, the point there, though, is if you haven't had the experience for yourself with God, then it's not something that's going to change you. The reason we push you guys to read the Bible or to pray on your own or to go do stuff with Jesus is because if you just hear about it, it doesn't change your heart. You are a spirit and a body. God wants to interact with your spirit.
You know, it was a little while back, I was reading a book, and they talked about letting God define himself. And I have all sorts of ideas about God, but it just dawned on me, if I will wait before the Lord, he can tell me who he is. And that, the way I do it is, I'm reading the Gospel of Mark, and last month I was reading the Gospel of Matthew, and next couple of weeks I'll be starting the Gospel of Luke. And there's another friend of mine who's right now working out of town. He's reading through Titus every day of the week. He's going to read through Titus for the whole month. And so there are different ways for us to connect. But what if we come to God and we say, Lord, I'm a clean slate today, as clean as I can be, and I'm reading your word today. Show me what you want me to know about you. Can you imagine that? That gives him a chance to do what he did with Peter here, to reveal to you what he's like. I was shared this in the early service. I had coffee with a guy who's really a good welder. And so I was talking to him about his prayer life, and I said, tell me about your prayer life. And he was kind of dancing around the issue, so Jake is more direct than me, but I'm learning from Jake to be direct. And so I said, how many minutes a day do you pray? Oh, about three. Great. Did you learn how to weld, practicing welding 3 minutes a day? No. So can I take his story and apply it to all of us? We need to give quality time to meeting with God. All right, it's not an 8-hour-a-day job, but sometime he needs to have time to get with us. And to me, the best way to do it is to read a little bit of the scripture and pray it. Read it and pray it. Read it and pray it. When you finish chapter 1, go to chapter 2. Finish chapter 2, go to chapter 3, and so on, okay? And let God begin speaking to you, you know? And so I really, really encourage you for that. Let Jesus define to you who he is. All right, I know a lot of you are doing that. Quite frankly, I know I can do it better, and I think you can too. So let's step it up and see what he has for us that he can reveal to us himself. All right?
So we're just going to be a little more direct to you.
Yes, get
Bob
more direct.
So raise your hand if you, before you got to church today, you read your Bible. So look around the room. Sorry, we're not being judgmental, but look around for hands raised. So
the rest of y'all come up and pray with us after church.
But if you've not read your Bible before, go ask one of those people. Hey, tell me a little bit. Tell me what to do, what to read. Reading the Bible for the first time is kind of intimidating. It's a big book. Ask one of those people that are doing it regularly and say, hey, show me how to do this. Okay, just like if you were going to go start running and you'd never, ever exercised before, you'd be smarter to ask somebody who does run, okay? So another thing that we just face about ourselves, maybe you read the Bible at night, maybe you've got whatever golden excuse, but the reality is, too, that we're a big church that's here today because of Jesus, but a lot of us haven't spent that personal time with him today. And if we don't do it on Sunday, are we going to do it on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday? Thursday or Friday or Saturday? So I'm not beating you up. And like I said, your own time with God might happen at a different time of the day. But Jesus says, if you want to really understand me, you've got to connect with God yourself. You can't live off of somebody else. You can't live off of, well, Bob and Jake are going to give me a great idea today, so I don't need to look for myself. If you're not looking for yourself, you're not going to find what Jesus wants to give you. And here's the thing, is Jesus wants to give you a lot more than you expect. Have you guys walked with God enough that you come into one of these moments where you finally feel like, whoa, God blessed me in a giant way that I would have not been ready for 6 months ago? Or man, if God had given me that relationship a year ago, I would have blown it up. Or if God had given me this car or God had given me this thing, I wouldn't have been able to handle it. See, God is very eager to bless us, but a lot of times he knows you're not ready for the thing I want to give you. A lot of us right now, God's waiting eagerly to give us someone or something, and we're not ready for it. I think Jesus was waiting to tell one of his disciples what he's about to tell Simon. But Simon, by declaring who Jesus is, he was ready to find out who he was. When you know who Jesus is, then you're ready to be who God wants you to be. So here's what he tells Simon. He gives Simon a new name. He says, and I will tell you that you are Peter, and that on this rock I will build my church. Because Peter means rock. He gives him a different name. And the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, will not overcome it. So Peter grew up as a fisherman, not a lot of education. Nobody probably had high hopes for Peter except maybe his mom, you know? And then Jesus says, the most powerful evil forces ever won't be able to stand against what I want to build through you. I mean, that's just like, that was way more than Peter ever expected. When he declared who Jesus was, he was ready to become who Jesus wanted him to be. And Jesus doesn't even end it there. He says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. This crazy statement, how much God trusts Peter. And it's not just Peter. This isn't just Peter's God's favorite. At the end of the book of Matthew, Jesus says to all of his disciples, I'm giving you guys the mission. I've given you everything that you need. I'm going to be with you, but you have to make disciples. Jesus didn't stay on earth and teach everybody himself. Jesus put people in our lives for us to impact. And to kind of carry the full weight of that, I want to tell you a little tiny scenario. So it's maybe not fun to think about, but imagine tomorrow you're in a surgery room. Everyone's like, ooh, I don't want to think about that. When you start imagining that, I bet most of you, more of you than raised your hand for reading your Bible, I bet most of you are thinking of yourself on the table about to get surgery. But I want you to imagine yourself, you're standing next to this team of doctors, and they've got somebody all covered up with gowns and stuff, but there's that little section opened up where you see some skin, and their chest is rising and falling, and they're breathing, and there's all these monitors going off. And one of the surgeons puts a little thing in your ear, a little Bluetooth thing, and says, I'm going to talk you through this, but here's a scalpel. And then he leaves. He's got other places to be or something, I don't know. How do you respond? This person needs surgery. You're there with the tool in your hand and the little answer man in your ear. Most of us probably dropped the scalpel and run out of the room, right? We're like, I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough. I mean, for me personally, I'd be thinking back to when I was in fourth grade, we had this little assignment to fold paper boxes. Mine kept being cockeyed. It couldn't get it right. And as a fourth grader, I remember I was crushed because they always tell you you can be whatever you want to be when you grow up. And I thought, I can't be a surgeon. That was the thought that ran through my head. So I thought, if that was somebody's heart, like, I can't make it right. I keep making it cockeyed. I was like, I'm just not dexterous enough. Like, that's my little fourth grade mind. Like, I just don't have enough hand-eye coordination to be a surgeon, you know? That's what I would be thinking about. You'd be thinking about something probably more sane than me. But we'd run out of there, right? Because the risk is too high. Who on earth would trust me with surgery, we think?
50 years ago,
yeah,
a guy was not handled the scalpel for me. He didn't know how to handle it. But he was given, these are my church keys, but he was given the keys to the kingdom. And he took them out of his pocket. And he didn't know how to do surgery. I mean, he wasn't ready for that. But he knew that his friend Bob Spradling was lost and away from God. And he started praying for me. And then he started inviting me to church. That's all he could do. All he could do was invite. Would you come to church with me? Would you come to church? And every time he asked, I said no. And he came to a time where he said, God, I'm through asking. And God said, ask him one more time. And so he asked me one more time, and I said I would go with him. And it was a Friday night. I'd never been in church ever on a Friday night. And I knew virtually nothing about God. I believed in God. I believed in Jesus. I believed in church, but I had no interest whatsoever. And here I was sitting in church. And the sermon wasn't very good, and the music was worse than the sermon. I'm just telling you, it wasn't a good deal. It wasn't a big, hot, flashy church. It was just a little inner city church in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, on the wrong side of the tracks. And God himself came, and he picked up the scalpel. My friend did his part. God did his part. And God came to me while we were singing that last song in church, and I bowed my head, and I said the only prayer I knew to pray, God, you can have my life. And you're right, amen. It was showtime. I mean, That was 50 years ago. 1 year from that date, I was pastoring a little country church in southeast Missouri. And I've been doing it now. Next year, if I make it that long, it'll be 50 years. Amen. So I'm gonna ask you, we talk about being given the keys to the kingdom. The keys to the kingdom is what you use with your mouth to help somebody else. The keys to the kingdom is not you sitting in church on a Sunday morning. It's not you doing a job around the church. And please keep doing those jobs. We need you to do them. But the keys to the kingdom is what you do with other people. It is the person that you say, hey, would you come to church with me? It's the person that you say to that person, have you ever thought about Jesus in your life? It is you using your influence. And the interesting thing about what you bind on earth is bound, what you loose is loosed. Folks, if he had walked away and not dealt with me, I would have been bound. I'd probably be a good golfer. I'd probably be on my second marriage, and I'd be a salesman somewhere. All right? But he set me free. He loosed me because Jesus Christ picked up the knife and came into my life and said, come on, Bob. I got a plan for you. And it has been a wonderful 50-year ride. I don't regret a single day of it. It has been as great can be, because that's what God wants to have happen in your life. So there's a twofold message here. Message number one is, if you have never prayed a prayer like I prayed 50 years ago, pray it today. If God's speaking to you, Jesus, come into my life. Make me new. I give myself to you. Pray that prayer. And the second thing is, for a lot of us, let's get the keys out of our pocket, you know, that we've thrown away, and let's get our lives into other people's lives and help them get to know what we know. We cannot, we should not, we must not keep this to ourselves. Okay, amen? All right, Jake?
I want to throw out something you guys maybe haven't thought of before. If we go back in time where Bob's friend is praying, and God says, ask him one more time, that guy has a choice. And that guy could say, nope, not doing it. Bob is a lost cause. Now, maybe years down the road, somebody else is more faithful, and maybe somebody reaches out to Bob. Maybe Bob makes it still. But I also believe that there's real stakes when God tells us to do things. That there really are neighbors that you have, that their shot at getting close to Jesus comes through your being obedient to Jesus. That when Jesus said, I want you guys to make disciples, if we fail to do that, then other people don't become the people that God wants them to be. I keep a prayer journal, and it was right around this time of year that I think it was Javon, the Van Horn student was shot coming home from Van Horn, just half a mile from here. There's all sorts of junk going on in Independence. I mean, a lot more recent than that. And you got to wonder, how many Christians did God want to use in different people's lives to change some of those scenarios? But how many of us said, like, no, I'm too busy doing whatever my stuff is to be faithful to you, Jesus, today? Or I'm too full of my own good ideas to have any sort of spiritual power to actually be able to help somebody else. And maybe we're limping through life, and maybe we know enough about Jesus, and we've asked for enough forgiveness that maybe we'll make it to heaven and Jesus will be gracious with us. But how many missed opportunities are there along the way because we didn't get it together and help somebody else? And this isn't like, oh, let's heap on more guilt than you could possibly carry and then send you out into the world. It's to say that Jesus puts real risk on us. He loves us. He entrusts us. There really are people on the operating table, and they really do need us. And they live right around here. And it's not this idea of I got to suck it up and become a Superman and save all of Western Independence. You just have to do what Peter did. What did Peter do? He figured out who Jesus was. And then he let Jesus tell him who to be. 1 John 3:2 says that when we see Jesus, we become more like Jesus. What if this week, every morning, you spent time looking at Jesus. The promise of 1 John 3, you don't have to do much past that. The promise is, if you spend time looking at Jesus, he will inspire you to be more like him. And what if this week you said, I'm going to be more like Jesus every day that this week goes? The people around me, I'm going to be open to impacting them. Because Bob's right, we can't all be surgeons and we can't fix all the problems around us. But Jesus said to Peter, there's no evil force that can stop you. And if you build something here, I'll make it last forever. I think that same Jesus would say to Jerry Snow, Jerry, if you do it my way, I'm going to do something through you that'll last forever. I'm going to do things through you that no one else could imagine. You'd say the same thing to Molly Arcano. You'd say the same thing to every person in the room. I have giant plans for you if you will come and look at me and then live out of that response. That's how Peter got to the hilltop experience, if I can switch it there. He got to this spot where he could see who God wanted him to be. He got there by seeing who Jesus was. And you have that choice this week of, do I believe that? Do I believe if I see Jesus better, then I'll know who to be? If you believe that, then I have a blessing I want to pray over you. I want to pray for the next time you reach out and look at Jesus that you'll see him. Okay? So let's bow our heads. Jesus, I thank you for every person in the room today. And Jesus, I don't have all the answers, but I know that you can change us. So I pray for every single person here that the next time that they pray and reach out to you, the next time that they open the Bible and read a story about you, Jesus, I pray you would show yourself to them in a new way, in a bright way, a way that would change them. We need you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.